Welcome to the program God and Country, a program that looks at current political, social, prophetic events in the light of biblical exposition. Your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. A couple of weeks ago, I did a program about the question of Muslim immigration, and I want to do a follow-up on that program to tie up some of the loose ends. As you know, the court struck down President Trump's executive order temporarily banning immigration from 7 countries that have been on a terrorist watch list. Although the president is following the same laws used by President Obama, the courts have taken it upon themselves to claim Trump's actions violate the First Amendment. Which is quite bizarre that the courts are saying that they can overturn immigration laws which belong to the sole domain of Congress. Because the courts find in our Constitution that foreigners have a right to emigrate to the United States. These justices are claiming that the First Amendment Establishment Clause, that the government cannot establish a religion or prevent the free exercise thereof, is a Bill of Rights that requires the United States to allow anyone into the country regardless of their religion or their ideology. Now, the First Amendment is for Americans. But if it's applied to foreigners and to immigration, that would mean the United States would have to allow in religions who want to overthrow America. Particularly fundamentalist Islamists who follow the Quran. Quran 9:5, kill idolaters wherever you find them, capture them, blockade them, and watch for them at every lookout. Islam is a political, social ideology wedded to religion. And the mistake of our courts is to blindly define everything that calls itself a religion. Take, for example, the 1952 Immigration and Nationalization Act that banned communist subversives from entering the United States. It pretty much closed down immigration from the Soviet Union. But given the logic of our courts today, if the communists simply called themselves a religion and had worship services during the week, the courts would have had to have overturned that law, because it violates the First Amendment freedom of religion. I've mentioned this often, but the Bill of Rights was never meant to be a complete moral guide for our country. It's not extensive enough. Anyone can justify anything they want using the Bill of Rights by simply claiming the principles of freedom and equality that undergird the Bill of Rights. It's utter madness. But that is what happens when a country becomes ungodly. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9, the wise men are put to shame. They are dismayed and caught. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what kind of wisdom do they have? A couple of weeks ago, there was a piece of news. Prospect Park Mayor Mohammed Kaherullah wins kudos for Sanctuary City Executive Order. This appears to be part of an organized effort by the left to get mayors to declare their cities sanctuary cities in order to thwart the Trump administration's plans for tighter immigration controls. But according to this mayor's order, no department, committee, agency, commission, officer employed by the borough of Prospect Park shall use any borough funds or resources to assist in the enforcement of federal immigration law. The article reads that this mayor, Mohammed, directly referenced his own past in explaining why he signed the order. It is important to me as a person who came to the United States as an immigrant that we uphold our laws and values. The U.S. is a land of opportunity and dreams for many people all over the world. Prospect Park is a town in New Jersey near Paterson. and there has come to be a large Muslim population in that area. As in Europe, Muslims create their own neighborhoods around mosques. But think about this. It's really no surprise that a Muslim mayor from Syria, once given the authority, opens the door for his fellow Muslims to come to the United States. And I think it's rather hypocritical that an Islamist would be offended by Americans limiting Muslim immigration when Muslims themselves believe in Sharia law, which requires Islam to be the state religion. There's an article in the Christian Post entitled, "Syrian Christians in Pennsylvania Back Refugee Ban from Muslim Countries." See, these Syrian Christians who now live in Pennsylvania knew what they came from back in Syria. They don't want it to happen in America. Christianity in Syria used to be 30% of the population. Now it's less than 10% of the population, with so many leaving because Islamic ideology has taken control. It's also interesting that this mayor's opinion is that America is a multicultural, pluralistic country that is required to accept everyone from all over the world, regardless of an immigrant's religion or ideological values. And that's a popular notion today. But that's not a wise position to take, nor is it biblical. Pluralism that places false religion or ideology at the same level as true religion always results in disaster. Presidential candidate Ben Carson, during his campaign, stated that a Muslim cannot be president of the United States. And the reaction from the media and the left was as if he was supporting the KKK or the Nazis. Because many Americans raised in a secular public school environment have never heard such things. But Carson went on to explain the Christian biblical common sense position, that which used to be universally accepted in America. He stated that for a Muslim to become the president of the United States and swear to uphold the Constitution, he would first have to reject many tenets of Islam. And the great error of American people today is they don't understand the importance and the effect of religious ideology. All beliefs are not equal, and I think they're just now learning that in Europe. Now, I would like to address this issue of Muslim immigration by another look at 1 Kings 11. But first, I need to say a few things about immigration in general. Let's not confuse the issue of Muslim immigration with general immigration from other countries. Mexico, South America, they're two different things. The Hispanic immigration is an issue of limiting immigration to a reasonable, workable level that's good for America and good for the immigrants themselves. The Muslim immigration issue is a matter of national security and the need for a nation to have a unified national civil religion. And certain biblical texts apply to this issue. But first, in regard to general immigration, like most evangelicals, I am pro-immigrant. Every time I have to deal with an immigrant, I go out of my way to make him feel welcome. It's just part of the love of Christ in my heart. And I understand how difficult life can be when you're in a strange country. So I always try to be more charitable toward immigrants. But like most evangelicals, I am anti-illegal immigration. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, "Submit yourself to the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him, by God, for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right." Those pushing for sanctuary cities and open borders are trying to take the moral high ground by saying U.S. immigration laws are unjust and unjust laws ought not to be followed. Like slavery laws were ignored in the Underground Railroad, and the Jews were snuck out of Germany in the 1930s. Well, that moral equivalency is not supported biblically. You may not like borders or immigration law. You may desire to live in a rich country. But you can't say that everyone in the world has a moral right before God to sneak over a border into another country. And that once you make it over the border, you have some sort of God-given right to live in that country. There is a pseudo-religious argument coming from the left that borders are man-made, not God-made. So they don't need to be obeyed. But biblically, God sets up nations and borders. Romans 13:1, Acts chapter 17, verse 26. And illegal immigration is lawlessness. It is the spirit of the lawlessness of this age. Matthew 24:12. Lawlessness will increase. And we're living in a day when God's laws in regard to honoring and obeying the king, 1 Peter 2:17, are being ignored by the excuse that my own personal freedoms and my own opinions come above God-ordained authority. And that's a recipe for social unrest and disobedience like we've never seen here in America. During the Super Bowl game, a friend texted me, "Hey, 84 Lumber just did a commercial supporting illegal immigration." I texted back, "Of course, this is the construction industry. They want cheap foreign labor. Everyone knows construction work is about picking up illegals for the day and paying them under the table. 50 Mexican illegals are standing on the street corner. The construction boss man rides up in a pickup truck and says, 'How many of you will work for $200 a day?' 50 hands go up. 'Too many.' 'How many of you will work for $100 a day?" 50 hands go up. 'Too many.' 'How many of you will work for $50 a day?" 20 hands go up. "Okay, you 20 get in the truck." Now, that's not the way it always works. But that just illustrates the injustices that are created by illegal immigration and how people can be taken advantage of by open borders and sanctuary city policies. Later, I went online to look at this commercial, and it was despicable, especially coming from 84 Lumber and the construction industry. Here is a mother and daughter leaving Mexico and sneaking over the border to make a future in America. And your heart is supposed to go out to them as they ride in a pickup truck, as they walk down railroad tracks, as they trek across the desert. For 84 Lumber to make this commercial is like for plantation owners in the 19th century lobbying the public for African slave immigration. Illegal immigration hurts people. It brings people in under false pretenses. It promises what it cannot fulfill. How many immigrants became naturalized citizens in the United States last year? I have asked this question of Mexicans and to those supporting open borders and illegal immigration, and the answer I always get back is a few thousand. And they're shocked to discover that last year, 750,000 immigrants were granted U.S. citizenship. And that has been the U.S. policy for the last 25 years, even way before the Obama administration. We naturalized more people last year than the entire population of Wyoming, Vermont, North Dakota, or Alaska. Over 20 million immigrants have been naturalized over the past few decades. Half the total immigrant population in the United States. I think we can say that U.S. policy, as it currently stands, is very generous. And if the left wants more immigrants naturalized, let's say 1.2 million or 1.5 million, then let's talk about it. But the idea of open borders and sanctuary cities is not only lawlessness, but it hurts the immigrants themselves. If we were to open the borders and let 5 million immigrants in a year, there would not be enough jobs. There would not be enough housing. Immigrants flooding into America would be coming under the false pretense of prosperity, when in reality it would only mean joblessness and slums, like we had in New York City during the Industrial Revolution, when unprincipled business leaders just merely wanted cheap labor, and they crowded the people into New York City slums. So it's out of compassion for immigrants that we must regulate immigration and hinder illegal immigration. It's because of our love for immigrants that we don't want open borders. Exodus 20:21. You shall not wrong a stranger or oppress him. You shall not afflict any widow or orphan. If you afflict him at all, and if he does cry out to me, I will surely hear his cry. Exodus 23:9. You shall not oppress a stranger, since you yourselves know the feelings of a stranger. Leviticus 19:33. The stranger who resides with you shall be to you as a native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. I pastor an international church. We have people from Poland, Ireland, Colombia, Puerto Rico, Africa, Russia, India. Probably the only person in my church whose family didn't come to America in the 20th century. And all of my people are against illegal immigration. Not because we hate foreigners, but because we love foreigners. We were all foreigners. And Jesus tells us to love our neighbor. So we don't want to see them hurt. We don't want to see, like in this commercial, a woman and a child having to sneak across the border, having to pay human smugglers, Revelation 18:13, merchants of human lives, to see women and children being abused in human trafficking. There are right and legal ways to apply for U.S. citizenship, and by waiting, people do make it to the top of the list. And certain conservatives who oppose illegal immigration need to change their narrative. Yes, we're for the law, but we need to remind the public that it's also because of our love for immigrants that we don't want to see them come illegally. We don't want the opportunist, the criminal, to jump in line in front of the righteous. Isn't the left all against bullying? They were the kids who were raised in public school, and they hated it when bullies would cut into the lunch line, and there was nothing they could do about it. Well, how about being against illegal immigrant bullies who cut in line? You know, all this is just another example of my long-standing position that ungodly liberalism actually hurts more people under the pretense of helping them. In fact, I did a program about that last year. Let's see. That was program 219, entitled Liberalism Hurts People. Now, it looks like I'm running out of time. I'm not going to be able to deal with this separate issue of Islamic immigration, the exposition I wanted to do on 1 Kings 11. I'm going to have to do a third program on this subject. But let me end with this question. How are we to react to all this as Christians? On the one hand, we want the government to have reasonable, charitable immigration laws. Laws that limit general immigration and that restrict Islamic immigration. But we know that few people are going to listen to the Christian community. Christians make up a very small minority of the population. It's not as if our leaders are going to pay any attention to biblical counseling. I've seen how this is a non-starter in testifying to my own state legislature about certain issues. And America is so far gone morally. It's not as if we're going to be keeping America pure by keeping out Islamic false teachers. Our own native liberal white secularists are the bigger problem. So what difference does it make if Baal worshippers come into the nation when the natives of the nation are already Baal worshippers? like ancient Israel. The curse for failing to keep the law of God was that the foreigner among you shall rise above you higher and higher, but you shall go down lower and lower. Deuteronomy 28:43. And an immigrant invasion is a just punishment upon ungodly families in America. And who are we to hinder or oppose the judgment of God? We should just let it happen. It isn't going to greatly hurt us. Psalm 37, evildoers will be cut off, but the righteous will inherit the land. And in 2 Peter 2:9, when judgment comes, the Lord knows how to separate between the righteous and the unrighteous. Then there's also Matthew 18:7. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks, for it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to that man through whom the stumbling blocks come. When our leaders make bad policy, and the public protests for bad policy, it must needs be. God has a plan for it. Now, in the immediate context of Jesus' day in Matthew 18, the rise of the political zealots and the movement to overthrow Rome was bad, nation-destroying policy. But God allowed it as punishment upon the nation. But let's remember the teaching of Matthew 18. Even though it comes from God, and even though God will use it to refine and to judge the ungodly and even to help his people, we are not to support offensive, unrighteous policy. So that puts us in an unusual situation. Christians often oppose something that we know may be God's will and for our own good. Or rather, I should say it this way. We might not directly oppose it, but if we're asked, our counsel might be against something that we know is God's will. For example, Christians in the future will be opposed to the Antichrist and to globalism based on all sorts of biblical texts. But even though we will oppose it, we know that it will be God's will for the nations. 2 Thessalonians 2:12, in order that they all may be judged, and in the end, that works for our good. So in the immigration case, if our leaders open the borders, on the one hand, we must say that is bad national policy. But on the other hand, we can rejoice that God is going to use it for our good. We have more neighbors to evangelize and to help. But please don't make the mistake of condoning or supporting evil that good may come. Don't assume that Matthew 28:19-20, the Great Commission, is a call for the Christian community to support sanctuary cities and open borders. Because as the scriptures teach in Romans chapter 11, verse 12, if God can bless us by the disobedience of others, how much more can he bless us by the obedience of others? When our leaders follow biblical principles, it goes better for everyone. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The radio website to listen to this program again or past programs is godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for taking the time to listen today, to consider these important issues, for you are an ambassador of the kingdom of God. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, fill us with compassion for the foreigner, even as we were foreigners to your kingdom. But we have been given citizenship into the kingdom of heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the true immigration issue of our times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.